Hey everyone, welcome to AV Insider. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Mutta. We have another special guest, as we always do from time to time on the show, and today is no different. Today's guest is Paul Konikowski. I always said that wrong already today. Paul Konikowski, who is the Design Engineering Manager at PCD. Paul, how's it going, man?
It's going great, Johnny. How are you?
I'm well, man. You know, I'm trying to give some reference to who you are in the industry or talk about, like, you know, how I've met you, but instead of me defining how you or who you are or how you are, why don't you give our listeners a little background about exactly that?
Sure. Sure. Well, I mean, you and I met through Twitter, back in the AV chat days
and 2009, 2010, something like that.
Somewhere around there. And at that time, I was running my own, starting to run my own business and doing a lot of freelance work. But along the way, I've worked for AV integrators as an engineer. I started as an installer. I've worked for consulting firms and distributors along the way. So I tend to be the technical guy that can also talk to clients and go to meetings. I do a lot of AutoCAD work and writing of proposals, that sort of stuff. So ever since about the beginning of this year, I've been working with PCD as their design engineering manager, like you mentioned, and running a few dozen jobs right now, anywhere between 30,000 to, you know, a million something. And, you know, it's going pretty well. I've got a team of four that I'm managing, engineers and CAD technicians. And PCD is a mid-sized, a small to mid-sized integration firm in the North Bay of San Francisco Bay in Sonoma County. We do a lot of schools and theaters and college classrooms. We're doing the Transbay Terminal, which is basically San Francisco's Grand Central station, and you know, fire departments and a lot of civic or municipal projects. But then also going after the pharmaceuticals and the private software companies and things like that. So really doing well. We also have a live division that we started, which it's very interesting to me. Unfortunately, I don't do live anymore. That's where I started.
You know, yeah.
With live audio and IT support. And maybe about 15 years ago, I made the switch over to installations and just started as an installer and worked my way through engineer and consultant. And then I went back to integration and then back to consulting. And so I kind of bopped around a couple times here and there, but always had my finger in the industry one way or another. Learned to do some marketing. So I do some ghostwriting. I know you do a lot of blogging. And I do some myself, but generally I'm not, when I do the blogging, it doesn't have my name on it. A lot of times I'm writing for someone else as a ghostwriter. So
how do you feel as a ghostwriter compared to just you being your own voice as Paul Konikowski on the internet? You know, obviously I think as a ghostwriter, it's a little, you don't want to have the same writing style, or maybe you do. I mean, I've done some stuff too, but I don't think you want to have that same voice as a brand, maybe, than you normally would do, but maybe you do. I guess it depends on the brand.
It does depend on the brand. I feel like I do bring a bit of my own style to the table just naturally. And so if someone really knew my writing style, they could probably pick up, you know, they might say, hey, maybe Paul wrote this one, but more often not, because I'm doing a white paper per se, like a marketing white paper. And that has to be a different voice altogether. It can't be as conversational as a blog. I'd say my own personal blogs, they tend to be on the editorial side. They tend to be a bit more a view on the industry or opinion-based. And I don't know, I don't say radical. That's not really the right word. But yeah, you know, outspoken. Whereas when you're doing the ghostwriting, you're essentially told what to write about.
Right.
Given the content, the topics, and really knowing your audience and who you're writing towards. So it's not an easy thing to do at the beginning, to you know, take someone else's idea and put it in their words, you know, which is not easy. But I found that if there's you know, 500 words between you and the paycheck, man, I find those words, you know, they they come to me, you know, if that's the goal, then you find a way to write it. And sometimes it's one draft, maybe two, and other times it, you know, it's a bit tedious, you know, the back with the clients. In terms, do I like it better? Yeah, a lot of times I do. I dated a young woman who was a songwriter, and most of her songs she didn't get credit for. And we both agreed that there's a real beauty in ghostwriting, because no one's going to judge you for what you're doing. You know, they're not, you know, you don't have to worry about someone thinking that you're a bad writer, because no one really knows what you're writing. But you can also write things that you maybe don't believe. You can write about how great a product is, and you may not really like that product. And so, are you lying? No, you're taking someone else's idea and you're turning it into their blog. And I think that's the part of the process a lot of people miss, is they think, well, you're ghostwriting, you're just putting someone else's name on it. That doesn't seem very, very honest. But what I really try to do is talk to the person who's, you know, having their name bylined, and get a feel for them and their ideas, and try to write as if they were writing. And then in the end, I work with them so it does sound like them. So they'll read it and they'll say, oh, I wouldn't say it that way. You know, I would say. And so in the end, and since it's not, doesn't have your name on it, you don't have this, you know, artistic, you know, like, oh, well, that's mine. You know, I don't know, artistic license, or I don't know what the right word is, but you just, you know, you're like, okay, you know, you're going to pay me to write what you want me to write in the end, even if I don't agree with you or don't like the product, I can sure sound like I do.
Right. Now, you do some writing at your own website, right? PKAudiovisual.com?
Yes. Yes.
And I remember in that same early time, you know, 2010, maybe that was around the same time, I think, you know, when I first saw that launch and kind of take off, you were doing some, like I said, you had your company, you were doing some independent stuff, I think, and like a little, like maybe in the ghostwriting back then too, because I know you were heavily active involved with the AV chats and all that, and some of the larger stuff for larger companies at the time. And I think up to this day, you still, you know, ghostwrite for some companies as well.
Yeah, I guess it was around 2010, 2011, I decided to leave an integration company that I was working for and decided to run my own business. And it was definitely a leap of faith in a lot of ways, because at the time no one was doing that. You know, the economy was still recovering, and I saw this need for, you know, social media marketing at a very basic level in our industry. There was so many companies with great products and this terrible social media presence. You know, they just didn't get it. They might post to Facebook once a month, and oh, look, here's our new speaker. And they just didn't understand the social aspect of it and how powerful it could be, you know, and viral marketing and that sort of thing. And so I recognized that as a need in the industry and went after it full force. I was dating a woman who knew a whole bunch about social media marketing. So she taught me a lot and just pointed me towards the right resources to learn about it. But I didn't have to necessarily be an expert. It was more of, a lot of the companies weren't doing anything. And so my business model was, let's get you up and running. Let's teach you how to do this, kind of jumpstart their social media for 6 months or a year or longer. And sometimes writing blogs, sometimes they would have their employees write the blogs, you know, and I would help edit them or kind of manage them. And so it started with traditional AV consulting, where I was doing AV design work, you know, like an AV engineer or an AV consultant, the AutoCAD, the specs, the equipment list. I was still doing some of that, picking up work randomly. So that might be one client at the time, you know, say at a given time, I might have, you know, four or five clients. So one might be AV engineering, AutoCAD, you know, the classic sort of thing. Another client might have hired me to do their Facebook, their Twitter, I was making YouTube help videos. For example, this isn't a secret, so I can talk about this. I worked for Revo Labs for about 3 years part-time. They were one of my clients. And I can say that because my name is on the blogs. You know, some of the blogs were have my name bylined. And if you watch their tech support videos about pairing, you know, pairing the Flex 2 with the base or how to change a battery, you know, I was making these very basic post-sale tech support videos for them. And just to avoid all the calls they were getting, I would say, what are the top 10 calls you're getting? Let's turn those into YouTube videos. And, you know, I looked one time and the battery replacement video had like 3,000 views or, you know, which isn't a lot for YouTube. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it's still like, well, that's 3,000 people that, you know, didn't call the company. And so it's neat that I was able to jump again, very low tech. I remember I used a lamp, like one of those lamps you would have on a drafting table, and it would, you know, I taped like my low end, the cheap GoPro knockoff camera to it. and then I would just, you know, do things. So it would be a mix of PowerPoint slides and then me showing it with my hands and then talking over that. So very, very basic stuff, but they, you know, no one was doing it. And so I would pick up that sort of work. And, the other thing I started doing around that time was, the trade shows. And, again, it's nothing I have to hide because I was out there in public. I was working a lot with WISA, the Wireless Speaker and Audio Association. That was a group of, different manufacturers. It probably started with 6 or 12 to start, but, you know, the idea was a consumer could buy a wireless subwoofer from one company, from Klipsch. They could buy their TV from Sharp. You know, they might get their Bang & Olufsen speakers, you know, to go with it. And it would all talk the same language. And that's really what the consumer wanted. They didn't want to have to buy all this brand or buy all of that brand. And so we felt we had a niche to go after. The home theater market is what it is. You know, people will still build those rooms, but there's a whole lot more people that they don't want to make that sort of investment. They want to be able to sell their house in a couple of years, or they might be renting like I do. Or, you know, maybe even just a traveling nurse or something who may only be in an area for a couple months. You know, we saw that market, the college kid market, the kid that wants a great stereo, but has to move it every year because of it.
Right.
Something. And so we went after that and got a lot of brands to come on board. Gibson came on board and we got Bang & Olufsen. That was a big one. And so I worked with WISA for maybe about a year, maybe 2 years, I want to say. I worked with a number of shows with them, ISC, Cedia, and I enjoyed that. Really liked the work in the booth, you know, sort of thing. It wasn't like I was doing a trade show every week, but, you know, 4 years or so. And I would go from, I remember thinking I would be a total hermit in my house, you know, like working by myself in an office like this with just my cat. And I would realize, I mean, I haven't talked to anybody in like 6 days, you know, like, you know, maybe I'd be writing people, but man, I really got to go, you know, at least go to the store to talk to somebody. This is just weird. And then I would, you know, go to the airport where there's thousands of people, get on a plane full of people, and then work a trade show with another few thousand people and just immerse myself in socialness and then go back to my not talking to anybody for 6 days or 6 weeks at a time. So it was a good balance. It would get me out. And I liked juggling the different clients along the way. So I did that freelance thing with different companies for the better part of 6 years. Mm-hmm. And essentially mixed in some full-time jobs along the way. I worked for Starin for a while, and that was a neat role, more trade shows and demonstrations and writing and stuff like that, webinars. And then I went back to working for myself again for a while. And then I got another full-time job with SPS, Strategic Products and Services. And then I went back to working for myself again, and now I'm working for PCD. So is there a chance that I might go back and do my own thing again? Yeah, I'd say that's, you know, looking at my personality and my track record. But there's also a comfort in getting that paycheck and knowing that, you know, you have benefits and, you know, things aren't going to just run out on you, you know, run out of work. So, you know, currently enjoying that full time, you know, 8 to 5 feeling. It's the structure of it all, because I love writing, but it's not enough to pay the bills. If I just counted on that, it wouldn't be enough to make ends meet. It's more of the icing. I think of it as the icing on the cake. So I still do a little bit of ghostwriting, but it tends to be weekends, nights and weekends sort of thing.
So if you were to go back and either start up your own company again or freelance or something of that nature, and you could choose what you would do, right? Your ideal company, Paul's, you know, Peak Audiovisual, I would assume, right? Relaunches, you know, 2.0 or whatever. What would the company do? What would be your favorite thing, just to, you know, just keep you going through the rest of your days?
Well, I would say the thing I enjoy the most is the writing.
Okay.
But that being said, I also like variety. You know, I really liked having one client that was CAD and design work, another client that had me doing YouTube videos and social media, another one having me work in the trade shows. So I actually really liked that aspect of it. If I could do just one thing all the time and it was consistent work, I would say writing would be, you know, it's one I enjoy the most. But I'm also, you know, I really do like to mix it up a little bit. I think it keeps it much more interesting line of work, you know, having multiple streams of income, that sort of thing. So, and that writing aspect can be brought into integration or consulting. You know, you're still writing your basis of designs or your proposals. There's other technical writing narratives and things you got to do. So there's ways to cross it over for sure. Talking with PCD about helping them on their blog, getting that, they've got that up and running this year, and they may be looking for some more content there. So that's a good crossover point where I could be working for an integrator and also writing for them.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I could see, you know, PK Audiovisual 2.0 being the companies or the three things that you just described, right? Doing the videos, doing the writing, and then doing the kind of consulting design aspect as well. So kind of managing or balancing between all those. And I think any company in general, like let's take integration, for example, right? They have their prime business, right? For you, it would be consulting or design. And from there, you can, you know, take those thoughts and ideas and put them on the company blog as an outlet, as a news source, as an idea hub, place of inspiration for other people in the industry. And then thirdly, the videos and such, the instructional stuff and some sort of social marketing in that, I would assume as well.
Well, yeah. And the video portion, just to expand on that. Another thing I enjoy doing, which I haven't done in a while, is the webinar teaching, you know, the hour long webinar.
Yeah.
Demonstrating and the live one, not just reading off of a slide, but getting people engaged and showing them a product and working with them on their projects. I find that a little challenging, but also a lot of fun. You know, we have the technology. In terms of the social media marketing and the YouTube stuff, you know, believe it or not, I think of myself as a content writer nowadays, not a marketer, because I feel like I caught the wave, you know, of social media right when I was supposed to catch it. Like, you know, you and guys like you and I knew things about Twitter that a lot of people in the business didn't know, you know, at that time, right? And they didn't have a social media person, and they didn't, you know, they might've had a marketing person who either didn't have time or didn't have a clue on how to do those things. And now they do, right? Now a lot of those companies do have a social media person or their marketing person does their, and to be honest, I'm not on top of it all. You know, I you know, fell off the trend of it all. I feel like I caught that wave right when it was coming into our industry and was able to pick up a lot of companies that just didn't have anything or had very little. and got them up and running. And it got them to the point where they were, like, take Revo Labs, for instance. I worked for them for most of 3 years, and eventually they hired somebody to do it, you know, and yeah, they just didn't need to outsource it anymore. When they first started, Allison, who was with them at the time, she's like, yeah, I don't know anything about this stuff. We really need you. But now, you know, there's a lot of younger people in the business that, or older for that matter, that they understand, they get the basics. And that's all I was really teaching was, you know, let's go for likes and here's how to make ads. And most people have the basics down. So I wouldn't try to market myself as a social media marketer. That I felt like that was, I did that in its time and I caught it right when I should. But that there's too much competition for that now. And for SEO or, you know, other things out there, there's pros out there. And a lot of, you know, I don't see the market as needed as it was, let's say, in 2010. So I would still look at marketing, but more from content creation, technical marketing, demonstrating to consultants, you know, a new product, or talking through different interactive display options with a client, that sort of thing, teaching about basic sound principles and how acoustic echo canceling might work, and being a bit more of a subject matter expert, not so much a social media expert. You know, I never really considered myself a social media expert. I just thought I'm the one that's doing it because you're not, you know,
right.
Not really an expert at it. You know, the same thing with blogging. There's a lot of people that can blog out there. You know, you can go to Fiverr and get bloggers for, you know, nothing.
$5, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I talked to somebody the other day, and I told her what I made on my last blog. She goes, "Oh, that's really good." And I thought, that's the least I've ever made in my life. And she said she gets 30 blogs a month for $300.
Oh, wow.
I was like, wow. I don't say I don't get out of bed for 300, but you can see it's a saturated market now, right? And
yeah.
And so instead, I try to do, when I do go for the writing gigs, I try to do a technical white paper that is geared towards an IT professional, or it's geared towards someone in the industry, something like that. And so it's a much more targeted and much more in-depth about, you know, conference room trends, huddle room trends, things like that. And so I feel like that's where I don't have as much competition out there, and finding those gigs is tricky, but once you find them, it's a really nice, a nice source of income.
Yeah. But you have those very particular type of, and interesting blogs at pkaudiovisual.com, correct? Like that's like the niche right there. If I go to pkaudiovisual.com, that's what I was kind of reading earlier on. And I saw some new updates and I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, we're talking about AV as a solution. Got caught up on that, right? ABASS.
Yeah.
And or AS, ABAS.
ABAS.
Yeah. And the software solution companies, and
yeah,
how that's become, I don't want to say a trend, but like I've seen a big trend in that, in companies just purely based in that now. And I remember many years ago in integration on the Resi side, the company I was with was like really pitching that, and I was like, what? and now it's like, oh yeah, we have whole companies just based purely off of that. And there's a need for it. There's purely good need for it. For people listening right now, one more time, head over to pkaudiovisual.com. Check out the latest two that are purely, I think, directed at that. I don't want to say epidemic, but that's, you know, the way things are moving, right?
Yeah, and the pkaudiovisual.com post, those tend to be my original ideas, and a lot of times it might be something I've observed, or I found myself explaining, using an analogy of eating a big turkey dinner to my team. Like, we've just taken on all these projects, and now that turkey dinner is giving us a tummy ache, and it's got to work its way through our system. And I'm like, you know, that would make a neat blog, and I just kicked it out in like an hour, you know. And other times, you know, I may not have an idea for a long time. So it's not something where I'm like, when I first started that blog, I would write, okay, I'm going to write this blog towards education market, and this one's going to be towards house of worship, and really going after specific verticals, using keywords on this and keywords, you know, and okay, we'll talk about this subject. Now it's really just a fun outlet because if I do come up with that original idea, it sometimes is a bit editorial in a way where other companies wouldn't want to post it. You know, it might, sometimes I can be a little controversial, you know, or a little outspoken. And a lot of times when you're getting hired to write that ghost blog, they don't really want that personality to shine through so much. You know, they really want you to be a bit more muted, agreeable, you know. I remember one blog I was writing, and I was talking about, I was just working for a company and they were introducing a white product, you know, instead of the black. And I started off saying, oh, you know, she was an older woman and she knew what she wanted. And, you know, and like all this, I put all this like innuendo on it, you know? And then I was like, and she wanted everything in her conference room to be white, you know, like that's kind of, but it was all this, I was a young engineer. She was an older corporate, you know, CTO or something. And to me, that's catchy. You know, that's going to keep you reading.
Right.
I was like, no way.
We're not doing that. Shut it down.
Cross that off. You know, we're not, just go ahead and delete that first paragraph. I'm like, but that's what makes it fun. And I showed, you know, another friend of mine, they're like, yeah, but that's what makes it a good blog is that first paragraph, but they wanted nothing to do with that.
And they're like, nope, not this company.
And there's been other ones where it's raised an eyebrow, you know, at a company. He's read it and they're like, should we really be posting this? Cause they want to be a bit more, you know, PC, you know, vanilla, I don't know what word you want to use, but
all of them.
It's not so South Bay guerrilla marketing kind of thing. They wanted to be wholesome and I'm like, well, okay, it's just not quite as interesting of a blog. But again, if that's what's taking me to the paycheck, go for it. You know, I'm all in, you know. Let's go. So what I don't do is I don't put my name on things that I don't really believe. You know, sometimes I will put my name on something if I'm working, say, for Revo Labs. They had me actually byline some of the blogs I was working for with them. They also had a lot of great, great internal bloggers that came forward. They started this blog initiative, and they I think they gave away some sort of gift card if you contributed to the blog. And these voices just came out. It was just awesome because you'd have the technical guy, you'd have your president type, you know, you'd have, and it was just great. I'm really proud of where that blog grew into. But I have a couple with my name on them, and like I said, I wouldn't put my name on something that I didn't really truly believe. But if it has someone else's name on it, I'll write, you know, I'll talk about it like it's the best product in the world because you know my name's not on it, and I'm not the author, I'm the writer. It's a different take.
I like that, man. Now you're also a CTSD holder, correct?
Correct.
Right. So obviously, well, I mean, I don't know if you were there this year, but I mean, typically you probably attend Infocom, correct?
I have been, but not in a while. I'm struggling to think when the last time I did go to the big Infocom show. This year I didn't because PCD basically goes when it's in Vegas. They don't go when it's in Orlando. They go every other year.
I could, I would definitely live to that standard as well. I'm not big on Florida, man. So when it goes there, I don't like going there. I go, but I don't like it. I prefer Vegas as well.
What I have done a lot of is so it's been a while since I went to Infocom. I know when I started with Starin, my interview was at Infocom Florida. And so I purposely went down there on my own dollar just to interview with them and meet the guys that I wanted to get a job with, and then turned around and flew out. I didn't want to spend any more money, you know, more than I needed to. I went, there was also a Kevin Collins tribute from HB, he passed away. So it was a big tribute show that night. And so I saw a lot of people there, and then I just left. I didn't hang around all week. But I do attend the regionals. There's been a few of them out here in the Bay Area, and I know you've been a part of some of them. The Connections, Infocom Connections, and it was about IoT. You know, there's been some other versions of that, I believe, that have come through. And then there's the E4 shows, sort of thing. And so I definitely hit those as much as I can, and I think those are great because you still get a little taste of, you know, at least seeing the people you know, at least in the area. You do get a little preview of some products sometimes. You get your credits. It's not the same. Don't get me wrong. It's not the same as meeting up at Cedia and drinking tequila, you know. You know, I wasn't drinking, but I was certainly there late, you know, with you guys. And, you know, those are memories we're going to hold for a while, you know. But yeah. I think that was Cedia, and that was probably when I was working with Staren. No, that was when
I think it was Weissa.
No, it was Weissa, because it was a Weissa-sponsored party. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, I did Cedia. I got to do ISC Europe.
Nice.
I got to do CES a couple years. And, you know, not the main floor, but we were up on the top floors of the Venetian, where they had all the high-end demo speakers, or speaker demos, which, again, just neat experiences, and enjoyed that aspect where you're working with three other people that are all pros, what they're doing. We go in, it was like the A-team, you know, when we all did our thing. We all knew how to pack it up. We all, you know, we'd have dinner at night together. We all go back to our rooms, crash, and then come back and do it again. So I really like that aspect. I don't think I could work trade show week after week after week, that sort of thing. But a few a year, yeah, I enjoyed it. So I didn't go this year. I am planning, I'd say, to go next year. But I don't really know, because I think, I've given PCD notice that I'm going to be moving to North Carolina. And so if I was with PCD next year, I would be going. You know, again, it would be in Vegas and we'd go. But now I'm making the move towards the East Coast in a few months. And maybe that means I'll be in Orlando and not Vegas. You know, maybe
right.
It might take another 2 years. I don't okay. know. It's just scary to think, because it really has been quite a while since I've worked that big show or attended. For a while it was every year, and then all of a sudden I did these other things instead. So,
okay. Well, so moving back, you know, eastward, right? Was it North Carolina or South Carolina?
I'm targeting Raleigh, North Carolina right now as my main target, although open to other places like, you know, Greenville, South Carolina, Wilmington. I was definitely considering Atlanta. That's where I went to school. But Atlanta's grown so much, and it's such a busy, crowded city at this point that I'm not seeking out roles there. You know, if the right role came along, I could probably, if I had a helicopter ride to work, you know, or something like that. But just generally getting back to that area to see friends from college more often. And you know, as you know, the cost of living in Sonoma, California is not easy when you're looking to buy a house. You know, I get decent pay, but the cost of houses around here is unobtainable for where I'm at. And I'm at that age where I really do want to, you know, maybe not settle down to one place, but the idea of owning a home is very appealing to me. You know, I think even just owning like a rental property, you know, that I might use a couple weeks a year, and then I might rent out the other 50 to help pay for it, something like that. That, you know, I thought about Tahoe and other places. You know, maybe I can do it there if I chipped in with somebody. If you start looking at other parts of the country, it's much, much more affordable. And with the work that we do, you know, you and I do, a lot of it can be done online. It can be done through Zoom or through Skype or GoToMeeting. Or if you really need to be there, you get on a plane or you drive to where you need to be. So I don't feel like I have to necessarily live here to work for a company that's based out here. I tend to think of, instead of letting the job lead where I'm going to work more, or letting the job lead where I'm going to live, I do the opposite. I try to think, where do I want to live? And then try to find jobs in that area. And of course, there's going to be more jobs in Raleigh than there is in, you know, Wilmington, North Carolina, or some of these smaller, or Asheville, you know, something like that. There's just a lot more chance in Raleigh. So that's where I'm targeting. I'm going to be there this October. I've got a friend there with a spare bedroom and a big parking, a big driveway that I can leave my cars in, and until I get settled down, get my own place. So I may not end up in Raleigh. I might end up in Charlotte. I might end up in Greenville or something like that. But I'm definitely looking towards the Southeast.
Okay. So a couple months you'll be in the South Carolina, in the Carolinas, if you will, yeah, right?
Carolinas. It's a good way to put it. And, okay. And North Carolina is, I'd say about 80% likely it'll be Raleigh.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty 1000% sure Rave is there in North Carolina in
Chapel Hill.
Hey, there you go. And, you know, I'm sure they'd want you to come by and say hi if you end up out there. I'm sure Gary and Sarah and the crew, you know, spend a good time hanging out and chatting it up.
Yeah. I always see them at the shows.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. It's Chapel Hill.
Yeah. And let's see. And then a couple months you'll be there. And from now ending with PCD or working remotely, who knows? Or it's possible that heading eastward may bring other opportunities, larger, you know, gigs or of something of the liking.
Right.
Have you looked to larger outfits? A little here and there, just maybe, you know, rebooting PK out of visual?
I would say I'm more looking for full time work. I'd say well, first of all, the PCD, they're a good company. I'm in a great role. But when I zoom out on my life, I want to buy a house. I want to be closer to my family in the Northeast.
Yeah.
My mom's turning 80 soon, and you know, she may need more visits.
Yeah, I get it.
And so when I zoom out, I say, I really got to make this move now. And PCD it's definitely a regional kind of company. You know, yeah. We go all the way down to Santa Cruz and we go out to Reno, but that's about it. They're not really a national company. There has been some talk after I leave, if they do need my services, of working remotely on a contract basis. If they get into a pinch, they can't hire someone back in my place and they have too much work. There's some talk about that, but I'm not counting on it or planning on it at all. I'm interviewing currently. I just had a phone interview this morning.
Sweet.
But yeah, so you're my second interview of the day. This one's way more fun.
Well, hopefully the other interview works out better because I can't offer you a job.
Not yet.
Not yet. As things progress, I'll call you up for sure, man.
Yeah, I'm holding out. So I'm talking with integrators. I think
cool.
That is something I can. It's one of the. If I have the skill set that I have and the experience I have, I feel like that's very transferable from one integrator company to another. And so certainly looking at integration firms. Like the ones I've worked for out here, like PCD and Snader and SBS. At the same time, looking at consulting firms, because I've done that before. I know there's some down there in that area. And considering those roles, again, they each have their own pros and cons. You know, neither of them is better. You know, consulting is not necessarily better than integration or vice versa. But I've played both those roles, so I feel like I can, you know, go after both roles at the same time. And then the other sort of company I'm looking for talking to is like you said, these AV as a service company, software as a service, or AV as a solution company. You know, folks that, you know, you might first look at them as a software company, but you know, suddenly they are doing audiovisual integrations, and it sort of stems from, I think, from the startup mentality that's strong in the Bay Area,
yeah.
where you have generally IT-centric or computer-centric people who set up their own conference room. You know, it might have been a ping pong table or, you know, and a webcam at the end of the table, and they were just projecting onto the wall, and they were just used to doing it themselves. And I remember when I was first working with some clients running my own business. Some were using Skype, and some were using Google Hangouts, you know, for these sort of talks. And I was thought, well, why are they doing that? Why aren't they using Polycom or Tamberg? And it's because of money. They don't want to drop, you know, 20 grand on a room. They want to pay $20 a month or $50 a month. It's a much easier to swallow solution. And so that attitude of we're going to run it on a computer, we're going to do video conferencing over a computer, the soft codec, cloud conferencing, whatever you want to call it, web conferencing. To me, that is much more of the progressive end of AV. And I'm looking for companies, either integrators and consultants that are in that realm, that are working with companies like Zoom, or Utology, that sort of thing, and or considering working directly for those companies. I've done some work for Zoom freelance.
Cool.
Under NDA for that, I can't get into that too much, but
no worries.
I enjoyed working with them quite a bit. And so as they grow, you know, they may need more and more engineer AV types, you know, on board, not so much software guys. And so that, to me, is very interesting, because I would still be able to use the skills that I brought along and yet still be learning new skills. There's, I have a fear of being pigeonholed as I get older, or hitting a plateau and saying, all right, well, I'm just going to do this for the rest of my life. That's not me. I'd rather keep growing. And it doesn't mean I have to switch companies to do that. Although I have a few times, but it could be a company that is growing and takes on those new bleeding edge, you know, early adopter type, you know. So, and that's why I enjoyed working with WISA, right? They were trying to do something that other people weren't trying to do. And Riva Labs, right? They were a disruptor. So there's definitely something good about, you know, what I call old school integrators, that they're classic sound guys, or they're classic video people who pre-build their racks, and they, you know, very disciplined about their drawings. You know, there's something that's very adorable about that and comforting. But at the same time, I feel like those companies, if they aren't getting on board with these new ideas, you know, with, you know, I mean, how many people, you know, you saw it right when iPads came out, right? What was our AV chats about? Is an iPad good enough, right? Is this going to be a threat to our control system? Oh my goodness.
Right.
And where are we at now? About 50%, I'd say, about 50% of our rooms.
Good half, yeah.
Are iPad driven, you know? And the same thing, you know, with video conferencing. Oh, well, you know, GoToMeeting and these soft codecs, they'll never be good enough for enterprise. Well, guess what? You know, there's very large enterprises that are going with Zoom or Skype, and of course Microsoft. You know, Microsoft has Skype now, and
all right, Skype for Business.
Cisco has WebEx. You know, so of course there's been some merging in that regard, but you know, BlueJeans and you know, these other GoToMeeting, you know, very, very common these days. No one hesitates to put those in. So if you're not on board with that, you know, that trend, then you're going to be left behind with the typewriters. You know, I always think about the typewriter people. You know, you have to adapt. You know, adapt or die. And I find if you rest on your laurels, even that time I took doing the marketing thing, you know, I was off writing about consumer electronics. When I also feel like there's a lot more money in consumer electronics than integration generally, but so I feel like consumer electronic leads us. I think in the old days, broadcast would lead consumer electronics, but now it's the other way around.
Well, it's a much larger market, and AV is just a sub-vertical of consumer, if you will, I guess.
Right, or of IT now, really.
Yeah, yeah. And although we are still a huge industry, I feel like we're still kind of like niche in comparison to the whole technology as a whole.
Yeah, a lot of people don't even know there is AV integrators out there.
Exactly. When you say AV integration to someone who's not in the industry, they're like, what?
Right.
Like, I make all your electronics work.
You're right. Welcome. So projector on your ceiling and that button panel you don't know how to use.
You're welcome. Yeah. Wherever you land up in a few months, back east here on the West Coast, but I'm thinking, you know, somewhere closer to home, big or small, integration, PK Audiovisual 2.0, wherever it is, I really hope that you continue with the website in general. The ideas, the thoughts, the your flavor and voice that you put out on PK Audiovisual, I hope that it really continues. Regardless of being, you know, at PCD, a large company, you know, back at the, you know, the other companies where you were before, the large ones, all of the above, I don't know. I just kind of hope that you just keep putting those ideas out there. Because just like back in the early days, it's like you saw a niche, and it's not like that's gone away. And I feel like that there might be less and less people that have those ideas, thoughts, and feelings and are putting them out there. I mean, they still exist in people, but it needs to be said, because there are people who just don't know and need to hear these things. And they're great ideas, they're great thoughts, and it's a great resource, if you will, for me. And again, I'm going to say one more time, pkaudiovisual.com is the website to go to. Paul, if people want to reach out to you directly, inquire, I don't know, about what you're doing in 3 months, if they want to connect, if they want to offer you a job, they like your ideas, they want to learn more about the website, whatever, what's the best way to reach out to you?
Well, there is some contact information on the website. That's a good start. And that is, I use, I have a Gmail account that's set up for that. That's pkav.info@gmail.com. And so that's a good one that I don't mind putting out publicly, and that it automatically bounces over to my, you know, truly personal account. There's a Google Voice number on there. You know, I use that to bring calls there. On Twitter, I am PK Audiovisual as well. And, you know, what I'm really getting a lot of my work and leads from is LinkedIn. I know you were big on LinkedIn for a while, a few years ago. I don't know how much you were. I remember when we first started talking, you were kind of excited about where LinkedIn was going. And there's certain things I certainly don't like about it. And, these math problem posts, you know, only a genius can solve this math problem.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like what Facebook has become.
Right. There is that sad, and I was getting actually really about that aspect of it for a little while, but I've gotten over it. I think there's a blog post about that. Because a lot of my blog posts are based on me getting, you know, fired up about something. A lot of the leads are coming through there. I'm amazed with just one little post will get. I posted something about, custom panels, you know, who you're using. I'm just got 4 phone calls the next day, you know, not just people commenting on it, but the people that had sought me out and said, oh, I'd love to do panels for you. And, so it's a very powerful tool. So find me on LinkedIn. It's Paul Konikowski, KONIKOWSKI. And you can get, you know, if you go to PK Audiovisual, you'll pick up my name there or whatever. I'm sure you'll find me. If you just Google PK Audiovisual, you'll probably hit half of my pages or blogs there. And you also hit some stuff in Pakistan.
You're popular. What can I say?
PK, I guess that's their thing too. But, and sometimes I've thought about changing it because audiovisual, it's a little dated, right? It's sort of like using the word telepresence. It's not really a trendy term right now. But it's a brand, and I've tried to maintain that brand, even with when I've had other jobs. Right now it's really set up as an editorial website. Just me, my rants and raves on a Saturday morning. But, if I do land in North Carolina and I don't find full-time work, right away, I will certainly be ramping that up. That's my fallback, is to go back to freelancing and just digging around for different types of work. And so you'll see the webpage turn more into a business centric blog rather than just very casual sort of thing.
Well, whatever you do with it, I hope that it just continues. And just, even if it's just like you said, you know, you had a good day at work or a crazy instance of something, and that just is like stuck up here that needs to be out in the world because something's obviously wrong in the industry, or yeah, whatever.
Like I said, a good analogy that I might have come up with, like, you know, this is a good way to explain it to somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I appreciate that.
They're very helpful, and like, you know, like, there's some good wit and humor to it. So that's why I enjoy reading them.
Yeah. And I think that's where my voice comes out the most is I can be a bit more outspoken. I try to be a bit more funny on those posts. And I'm not the only one that's learned how to do this. Anything I post on PK Auto Visual, I then mirror over on LinkedIn post and then circle back to. I get actually probably more hits on the LinkedIn side than I do on the PK AV side.
Yeah.
So I still enjoy that part of it. There's still a part of me, like, you know, I wrote one last Saturday morning. I woke up early and I kicked it out in like an hour. And I found like those are almost the best ones. The ones you don't have to think too much. You just
do it.
Post and then you read an hour later. Oh, there's a typo. I gotta fix that. Oh, I should have, you know, cleaned that up a little bit. I should have a proofreader. I think one of my best posts was about LinkedIn profile photos. And I can't imagine, you know, how many people picked that up and said how great it was, you know, because no one had taken on that. Here's what do's and don'ts of your profile photo.
Right.
And it just came, like I said, came to me very naturally. And I just, you know, kicked it out, not thinking much of it. It's probably one of my most popular posts. So, and other ones I've spent a lot of time on really thinking on, no one reads them. Kind of how it goes.
Well, I hope it works out for you in the next 2-3 months when you decide to head back home and maybe, you know, you'll be, you know, doing the PK Auto Visual 2.0, or that'll just be something that you have is your just kind of your outlet on the industry, which either I hope happens. Maybe, you know, you work for a large integrator, maybe you work for a large manufacturer, an AVAAS company, something in the three things we had talked about, you know, whether that's kind of like the writing just full time for multiple companies, which would be kind of neat, right?
It's really hard to keep that flowing. Like, you might have a really good month, and then the next month you may not have nearly as much. But
yeah, it's tough. I mean, it could be, you know, sides or
I think of it like the icing on the cake. You know, the cake is your weekly paycheck. If I get a gig, great. You know, that's more icing on the cake. But
but more so that I hope that, like, you know, if you get those gigs with the manufacturers and writing for them, I think it would be kind of like a boost on the kind of dryness of the industry on the information put out there. It's great. Like I said, they want to have their own voice, but I like you have that same voice when I'm my writing style. It makes it fun. It makes it engaging and active, and you want to read it versus like, yeah, this is speaker, and I'm talking about voltage drop, and this is over there, and I don't really care, and it's kind of boring. So
right.
Nobody wants to read that. I mean, sure, the person who wrote it, but it's got to be more than that. So I hope that at least you contribute to the industry that way, and hopefully the company grows. You do your own thing, whether it's side work, you know, just, you know, filler for the enjoyment, the third aspect. I hope it all works out.
Yeah, I will. I have a good feeling about it, and I appreciate your endorsement.
Yeah, man. So again, before we end the show, because we're doing it right now, head over to pkaudiovisual.com. There's, I think, a phone number, an email. There, you can find them on the Twitter. Should that still exist tomorrow? PK Audiovisual.
Yep.
At PK Audiovisual.
I'm not quite as active as I was, but I'm on there. I tweeted something yesterday. You know.
Or head over to LinkedIn. You know, that's a good place to, you know, hang out and talk and connect and get some stats and information. If anyone listening wants to talk to me, they want to rant, they want to be a guest on the next show, tell me you love the show, you hated it, you've got ideas, you want to chat, or you have a rebuttal to Paul, don't know. You can email me. It's Johnny, JohnNY @ravepubs.com. That's where you can reach me. I'm also on Twitter. It's @JMoto3, Facebook, LinkedIn, Facebook, Snapchat, yada, yada. Friendster, probably. I don't even really know.
Yeah, let's get our MySpace pages out. I think that's when I knew I wasn't with it in terms of social media, when I didn't know what Snapchat was.
Yeah. Instagram, it's all @JMoto3, with the exception of the one that you just mentioned, Paul. That's someone else. Don't follow that person. It's gonna be AV_insider. I'm over there. It doesn't matter. You Google me, you can find me. Reach out, no spam. Only constructive criticism, please, and or inquiries about the show. Thanks. Everyone, this has been AV Insider. Paul, thanks for being a guest, and let's say in a few months after Cedia or when you get settled in, let's have you back on the show and give us your opinion on the industry.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be interesting to see where I went from this stage and hooking up in 3 or 4 months and where I'm at that point. I think that's a great idea.
Cool. Everyone, this has been AV Insider. We'll catch you on the next show.